There was a dramatic change in the 80s with Ronald Reagan as part of the National Energy Plan, too. And that affected your business.
No, I never met Ronald Reagan. Didn't know anything about it. But I had a call from Oklahoma City from the fellow that runs Fred Jones Ford. We'd bought a lot of Fords during our lifetime. He asked me, as an energy person, if I'd be willing to come up and meet with Ronald Reagan. And I did, and liked him immediately. But he asked me if I would be his Secretary of Energy. And I said, I'd love to, but what are the strings? What's the deal? Well, the deal was you had to sell your company. You couldn't put it in trust, not in energy. I called my wife, and she said, well, we got a son coming in. We'll work for Ronald Reagan, but let's not sell the company. So I declined, but then agreed to come up there every week from Tulsa and spend 2 to 3 days in the Department of Energy helping the new Secretary of Energy, James Edwards, and I did that for 2 years. We just had a ball. But back to your question, at that time, we were terribly short on oil. The country was. It was a kind of a dead industry. So that's when Ronald Reagan said, will you head our energy task force, which I did that year, and then will you talk to the oil patch and do two things. See if they'll buy a bunch of rigs, see if the banks will let them buy a bunch of rigs so we can get this back on track here. And I was surprised. I went to the banks, New York banks, all of them, and I said, we need a bunch more rigs. The president wants them. We need to expand quickly. And they don't have the money. They don't have the credit to buy them. Every bank said, go. We'll do it. And they did. We doubled the number of rigs in the United States, and not all of it proved to be profitable. The boom doesn't always last that long, and that one didn't either. But it worked to help get the country back on track. Reagan was a big part of that. So we got along great.
You'd see him in meetings and so forth. Can you talk about his personality?
He was a class act. I don't know how to describe it. He'd treat you and I just like he'd treat the president of a foreign country. You never knew the difference. Pat you on the back, encourage him, but it wasn't bull. It was real. He was just a likable person. Where I really saw him at work is when his Secretary of Interior was very unpopular, because then and now he had the environmentalists and the difference in what we were doing. His secretary was kind of roughshod over the environmentalists, where they would allow drilling anywhere. And we were doing that.
And his name?
Jim Watt. And he was a nice guy, but he was determined to get oil for the president, period. The environmentalists just hated him. And the media hated him. And to make a long story short, he was forced to resign. So Reagan called us over to the White House. We're in there, and I'm sitting, oh, God, I dread this day. He did the greatest job of making Jim Watt feel good that day by pointing out that he took the rap for him. You did it for this country, you did it for me, and you're getting bumped over it. He said, I want you to know I know that. I want you to know that very few people ever realize how much good you're doing for the country. He was a super salesman, Reagan was. He could sell you on anything, especially the United States.
That had to be a real moving moment then in that room.
It was real moving. And then also, to see you have the Marine base there, the headquarters and other military places, and the Marine base, I was asked to come out and give a speech on energy to the Commandant of Marines and in front of his leading officers. They were 10 foot tall because they had a president. They hadn't had one for a long time. And he was bragging on them. He loved military. He made them feel highly respected, all of them. And they just worshiped him, and it changed their whole lives. I was just glad to see a guy do that. He lifted people up like I've never seen. You know, John, he was sick before people knew it. So he lost a lot of his punch in the last 2 years. I didn't know it either for a while. All I know is it became his cabinet running it for him, and they don't do a good job as he was doing. But God, what a wonderful man. I wish you could have known him.
Did you sit in on cabinet meetings?
I have sat in on them, but I was not a member of the cabinet. And I would just go in at his request once in a while.
But you'd come in occasionally.
Yes.
You'd sit in on it. Yeah. And you'd hear him conduct those meetings.
Yes.
And he was on his game.
He was on his game is a good way of putting it. He knew everyone. He knew their families, their children, their wives. He knew why they were there, and he thanked them every meeting. They had problems. He always had problems. But, God, what a... Yeah, I just can't say enough good things about Ronald Reagan.
So he engendered this feeling of you wanting to really work for the president.
Absolutely. People don't know that, but it takes a real servant to work in Washington. They don't get paid much. The members of his cabinet, They got a home at home, and they come up there and have to have a place to live. Their income is very low. It's a tough go. Henry Beltman's a good example. I could just tell you people like that that were up there because they believed in our country. And they all went up there for that reason. They thought they were going to change the direction of our country. And a lot of them left disappointed because it's a system that's hard to change.
Yeah. It had to make you feel good that you were able to contribute to our nation in that role.
It was a wonderful feeling. Wonderful.
Meanwhile, the company continues on.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it made me feel real good. And I learned a lot of respect for government. I learned I don't want to be in it. But I also found out when you go up there, you can't buy their dinner. You can't do anything for them. Just work, help them, and coach them. They're good people. But they were clean.